Well, you know, it's funny. A couple of weeks ago, Phil Rosen and I started a conversation about him coming on the air because, you know, BB went ahead and figured out how to actually win an election as opposed to a new election taking place and, you know, some type of deadlock happening. And whatever, it got postponed a week or two, obviously, and we were trying to figure out an exact time. And sure enough, I'll tell you, it's all about Shert. The one above is the best producer. Phil and I finally connected to get this done, and literally, the coalition agreement, unless it's already happened, it could be that it's already happened, but the latest we heard is that it's literally about to be signed. So this new government will be in place. Phil Rosen, of course, in addition to being a great friend of ours, is chairman emeritus of American Friends of Likud, board member at Birthright, and board of trustees member at Yeshiva University. And Phil Rosen, a pleasure. What timing, huh? A pleasure to welcome you and wish you a happy Hanukkah here at JM in the AM.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Thank you. Nachum, it's always my pleasure to be on your show because you do so much for the Jewish people. And I was happy to hear that your last announcement before me was my friend Eric Stern, and he's a terrific cousin and a great guy. So I think this is again another Besheret.
People may walk in tomorrow morning to Young Israel Talmud Torah Flatbush and see Phil Rosen, it sounds like.
I wish.
you'd like to hear his voice over Shabbos. You know, Phil, let's go back for a second and I just referenced it on the air. Before we talk about the fact that literally this government's about to be formed, about to be, you know, a true government, and how he went through this negotiation is unbelievable. But how did he pull this off? How did he finally, after all these, stalemates, so to speak, and temporary governments and shared prime ministerships, etc., how did he finally come up with a way to carry essentially the Likud party and its partners to victory?
Well, I think the people of Israel are responsible with Bibi having a little bit of a role. But the people of Israel voted for a right-wing government. That means Likud and its partners. They had enough of the last year of almost comical relief of having people who got six seats in the Knesset, right, and was prime minister, and having a government that had opposite extreme viewpoints throughout. I think Israel got tired of that. It got tired of elections. And I think Israel was heard, and it was heard by 45 seats for the Likud coalition. And I think that's the way it should be. That's the way it was many times in the past. That's the way Menachem Begin formed his government. And anybody who hasn't seen the beautiful movie about Menachem Begin, Upheaval, definitely should go see it. It's going to be in shuls all around the country. So, but the fact is that Bibi took that to heart. He decided that the only way to do it was to form a government that the people wanted him to. And so, you know, he spent a lot more time negotiating the coalition agreements than he has in the past. But he arrived at something that makes a lot of sense. And there's some dramatic changes as far as Israel is concerned. And I think they involve issues ranging from religion, ranging from what happens as far as kashrut, as far as schooling, as far as money for yeshivas. But more important to me than that is the principles of safety and security that Bibi is going to have in this government that I think the last government had none of. The fact is that there was more terrorism in the last year than we could remember since the Intifada. Why is that? Part of the reason for that is because the terrorists felt that the government of Israel wasn't going to come down hard on them, was going to arrest, you know, a couple of them, take them into jails, and then maybe trade them, God forbid, for another hostage. Bibi just, I don't know if you saw today's paper, but in the coalition agreement, there's a provision regarding, in certain extreme circumstances, the death penalty for terrorists.
Oh, wow.
And until now, that was only army was allowed to do the death penalty if it was something involving the army. But now it's terrorism. And so for me, that means a lot, because that means that we now have something to make them afraid of. You know, until now they weren't afraid, but you tell them that you're going to get the death penalty if you take a life. And to me, that's so important. I mean, I talk to people who lost children or lost relatives in terror attacks, and they cannot believe that the terrorists are sitting in jail for 10 years, getting a college education, getting, you know, amazing benefits to being in jail, and their kid is gone. And to me, that makes no sense. And so I think that this government is going to do a lot in that regard.
I wonder if it's going to be a game changer. That would be, because obviously it's not just, you know, having the law in the books, but actually implementing it could be a game changer down the road. Phil Rosen with us live via telephone, talking about Bibi's new coalition. Looks like it's about to be implemented, about to be signed, recognized, and sworn in. So, I mean, you addressed, and I think you're 100% right in terms of how he pulled it off. Can you explain to the audience the frustration he must have when it's time to actually negotiate the coalition? Because he needed an extension, and there's so many people from so many different parties who have so many demands. I mean, you've seen this up close and personal over the years. It must be a really frustrating process for him.
I have. It's hard, and it's harder still, because at this stage, Bibi does most of it himself. And that's, you know, enormously difficult. Every single one of the senior meetings, Bibi has to be there. And so it's tough. And now there are a lot more issues involving the various parties, because I don't think you had in the past the Ben-Gvir type of issues and Smotrich. But now you've got them and you solved them. I think that's amazing. And I think one thing I always wanted to say to viewers and to listeners is that everybody's so scared of Ben-Gvir and Smotrich. I can tell you that Ben-Gvir and Smotrich are two very fine Israelis, very fine Israeli leaders. And the reason they got so many votes is because the people of Israel, who are not dumb, they're very smart. They believe that having Smotrich and Ben-Gvir in the government is going to be beneficial to the entire country of Israel. And that's my belief as well.
Oh, I'm sure you believe that. I certainly join you in hoping that that's going to be the case, of course. Did you have a chance to read Bibi's book?
I did. I loved it.
Before you even answer that, I just got to, it's like a look at modern Jewish history. Because we look at him, and especially the younger people out there, look at him as strictly a politician, you don't realize the role that him and his family had in the miracles of modern Jewish history.
100%. I think three of the finest books that I've ever read in Israeli history are obviously Menachem Begin's book, The Revolt, the book about the prime ministers, and this one. And I think it's different stages of Israeli history, but it's magnificent. This is a terrific book. It's really enjoyable. It was funny because I had on my nightstand, I had Jared Kushner's book, I had Jason Greenblatt's book, and I had Bibi's book. And
you're saying to yourself, the three architects of the Abraham Accords, huh?
Exactly right. And I think the Abraham Accords is another thing that Bibi is going to push forward. I think he's already got some sort of relationship with the Saudis. And in my opinion, that's going to be the game changer of Israel's future. The Saudis themselves, I mentioned in the past that I went to Saudi Arabia twice, and I'm going again in March. But the Saudis themselves said that a peace treaty between Saudi Arabia and Israel will be a game changer, not just for Israel, but also for the region. And they very strongly believe that it's a necessity in the future, hopefully the near future, because I think it'll be dramatic. I think, you know, having peace between Saudi Arabia and Israel is the key to moving Israel to a superpower that is feared by its enemies.
You have called that a tipping point in conversations here before, and you meant it as in a variety of ways: superpower capability, an honest threat to the neighbors who will take it very seriously, and of course, business wise also. You think that it's going to be a game changer and advance Israel in the business arena of the Middle East.
100%. I can tell you that I represent the largest sovereign wealth fund in the world, which is the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. And I do their activities in the United States, but I'm also very close with them. And we've spoken several times about, you know, when things do come together as far as the peace treaty is concerned, that they want to be the first to hit the ground in Israel and start doing a lot of business. There are products that Israel has that they don't have that are game changers for them.
Right.
They have no cyber capability or minimal cyber capability. And so their computers are subject to hacking nonstop. They have all sorts of other things that Israel can provide to them as far as, you know, agriculture, water, all sorts of things that they desperately need, and Israel will give it to them.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing to have a position of strength in the Middle East, huh?
It really is. It's something I never thought would happen.
I know, especially in our lifetime. It really is incredible to watch, and the young people out there, they think it's always been this way. Ask your parents and grandparents, folks. It was never this way. Phil, before I let you go, and before you go to Saudi Arabia, you know what you're doing on February the 18th? You remember?
On February the 18th, I'm with you.
February 18th, you're with me at the Young Israel of Kew Gardens in Queens. Yeah. A post-screening Q&A with executive producer Phil Rosen. And the reason I'm mentioning that one is because it's the next local one. I'm doing this for the benefit of our New York and New Jersey listeners. That's the next local screening of what you've called an incredible movie, an incredible documentary, Upheaval, The Journey of Menachem Begin. So that's really cool that you get to do a Q&A afterwards and discuss not just the film, but Begin's life, etc.
Every showing I try to do that. I'm actually going to England to show it in several locations in London.
Oh, wow.
I was in Houston, Texas. I was in Dallas. I was in Miami. I was in Newton, Massachusetts, all to show the film and speak about it afterwards. Because I think to understand Menachem Begin, besides the film, which is amazing, you have to hear what he was like as a person. And that's my role. It's been great. It's been great. I'm able to tell the three or four times that I spent time with him. It's great.
By the way, folks, the information that I got is from upheavalfilm.com. Upheavalfilm.com. Phil Rosen locally here in this area, Young Israel, Kew Garden Hills, on the 18th of February. But there are a bunch of places around the world and certainly around the U.S., as Phil just mentioned, where you could see the film and see him and others who do Q&A who are involved with the film after the screening. Phil Rosen, we finally got this done. Great to hear your analysis, and thanks so much for joining us. And a very happy Hanukkah to you.
You too, Nachum, and you should have success. I'll certainly participate, but you should have success in the year-end fundraiser. And near Tashem, things should continue to go well for you, both personally and as far as the show is concerned.
Can't thank you enough for that. Thank you so much. Phil Rosen, everybody. Wishing him a happy Hanukkah and getting his perspective on a spectator sport that he's had a front row seat at for God knows how many years and decades at this point. I'm not talking about the Yeshiva University Maccabees, although on Hanukkah it would be appropriate to talk about the Maccabees. I'm talking about Phil's incredible, I think he'd call it an honor, to see what the Likud party and especially Bibi have done to get Israel to this point over the last many, many years. More coming up. You're listening to a Chanukah Day 5, Erev Shabbos Chanukah Rosh Chodesh edition of JM in the AM.